Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're visiting with Donald F. White, a highly sought-after international speaker, commentator, and author. Don enjoyed a long and distinguished career in financial services, and his new book is Always In, with the beginning in mind, How Firms Remain Great After the Founder Exits. And Mr. White, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Well, Eric, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man.
You bet, and really appreciate your taking a moment to be with us here today. Looking forward to learning a few things as well. So, for starters, what are the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make when it comes to succession?
Well, I think the first thing is that they don't think it'll happen to them. It's kind of, you know, one of these things of, well, there's other people out there that I'm sure will want to, you know, retire. There are other people out there that'll get sick. There are other people out there that may die. That's not going to happen to me because I'm indestructible. And the truth is, we're not indestructible. We all are going to be subject to certain inalienable facts, as they like to say. And one of the things that is a reality is that we all get old. And as we get old, we oftentimes are not able to continue, and sometimes we don't want to continue, but there's always something that's going to cause us to have to make a decision when it comes to whether we continue in our business, and if we continue in that business, and what capacity we continue in that business. And if you don't plan for that, well, it will take care of itself, because every one of us has a succession plan. I call it a cessation plan, and that is that we plan for our business to cease. And the truth is, in the United States, over 80% of businesses actually have a cessation plan. They don't have a succession plan because only about 12 to 15, maybe as much as 18%, depending on who's doing the statistics, actually go to the next generation. Businesses in America only – we're looking at less than 20% are going to actually go to another generation, whether that's familial or that is just a sale or whatever. And that's a really tragic statistic.
Yeah, you're not kidding on that, and a great place to kick things off here today. Now, what is the single greatest challenge keeping business owners from successfully transferring a business to a successor?
I would say pride. The truth is we think that we can do it all. We think that we are able to run the business, we're able to do all these things, and we're able to somehow magically find a successor in the 11th hour. And I think that pride really that's the one thing that keeps us successful, isn't it? I mean, you think about it, right? But it is the one thing that can keep us down. And the truth is that oftentimes we're not willing to turn things over. We're not willing to make that transition. We even find the right person, but we're not willing to hand that person the ball and let them play the game. And that's a real tragedy.
You know, I think you're right about that, pride being the biggest challenge in keeping business owners from transferring successfully a business to a successor. Great for pointing that out. Now, what are also the unique challenges parents face when it comes to familial succession?
Well, the first is do I have a child that really wants to succeed me? How many times have you heard or seen a person saying, oh yeah, my son's going to take over, my wife, you know, my daughter's going to take over, someone in our family's going to take over? And the truth is, they don't want the job. They've seen the boss's job and they don't want it. And I even saw that in my own family. My daughters love them to death. I have twin daughters. They have no interest in coming into our business, had no interest in coming into our business, and still don't have any interest in coming into our business. The truth is, you have to make sure you have a candidate in your family. You can't just create one because you think, oh, my son or my daughter will definitely take over.
And yet another fantastic point made right there and something to consider. Now, why is it rarely the best idea to sell to the highest bidder? Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, Erica, the one thing that amazes me is how folks don't realize the intangibles of a business. The intangibles of a business are really what make a business what it is. And you don't stay in business necessarily because of the money. There's oftentimes many ways you could make money. Typically, it's because you love the people that are involved. You love the clients that are involved. You love the actual business itself. And frankly, many people just love the business of the business. The fact is that when you hire somebody or you actually go out and find a buyer that's basically just going to give you the most money you possibly can for the business, you're probably making a big mistake. Let me give you an actual case in point. When I first started my business, I was working for a company called Prudential Beige, which was an old wirehouse that used to exist selling stocks and bonds. And I wanted to start my own company, or at least I thought I did. And I went and I saw a business consultant, and a great young lady at the time. And she said to me, well, tell me, Don, why are you with Prudential? And it was interesting because I said to her, I don't really know. And she said, well, no, come on. Why are you with Prudential? And I literally sat there, Eric, for about 2 minutes, which, by the way, is a long period of time when no one's talking. And I couldn't come up with a reason. And then finally, I just said to her, you know, I think the only reason I'm with Prudential is because they pay me so much. And she said, if the only reason you're with that company is because of the money, you better find another reason. That was life-changing in my life. And probably the biggest reason I went in business on my own, because believe me, I took a huge cut in pay when I started my financial planning company. I didn't get paid at all for 3 years. 3 years I went without taking a paycheck while we built this company. The fact of the matter is that if I was in it for the money, I would have really been sadly disappointed and probably would have quit early on. The fact is, when you sell the business, the same thing is true. If you're only selling to the highest bidder, the chances of that person being the right fit for your people, for those involved, may or may not actually be the case. So you need to put people over profit. That's one of my favorite expressions, putting people over profit. When you put your people over profit, and that includes, by the way, everybody involved, that talks about your employees, that talks about your clients, that talks about your vendors even, you've got to put those people over just the financial gain, because at the end of the day, you're probably going to do just as well, if not better, ultimately, when you sell the company, if you just put those people that are involved over the potential profit that you see in those dollar signs that you have out there hanging out over you. The tragedy is that too often people sell for the money and they regret it down the road. I've seen it happen time and time again, and it's something we need to avoid probably at all costs.
Really do appreciate your feedback on that, and that is something to really consider, not selling it to the highest bidder, but selling it to the one that where it fits the best, and that really makes sense today. We're joined by Donald F. White, the author of the new book, Always End with the Beginning in Mind, How Firms Remain Great After the Founder Exits, and he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, next question for you, why is finding the right successor so important, kind of tagging on to that last question?
Well, again, if you don't find the right successor, you find the wrong successor. That's your only other choice, right? Well, I mean, let's face it. You know, where's the middle road? At the end of the day, the right successor is the person that you need to be finding. And the way you find the right successor is by analyzing what that person really believes. And the truth is, if that person has the same kind of vision that you do, if that person has the same kind of work ethic that you do, if that person can encourage people the way you do, if that person can accept the things that they can't change the way you accept the things you can't change, and if that person's tenacious like you're tenacious, then you probably have found somebody that's a fit. At the end of the day, those five qualities of having the right vision, or what I call sights, having the right work ethic, having an attitude of encouragement rather than discouragement, having an understanding that they need to accept the things they can't change, and then being tenacious, sticking to it, not quitting. Those five basic qualities, which, by the way, if you take the first letter of each of them, sights, work, encouragement, acceptance, tenacity, that spells a very interesting word, doesn't it? It spells sweat. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people that will sweat right alongside us in this endeavor that will make this a better endeavor even after we leave.
Now, I understand you introduce a concept you call the Alice in Wonderland syndrome. Explain that, if you wouldn't mind, to our listeners, that concept. That would be great.
Oh, yeah. Alice in Wonderland syndrome. It's in our book. I think it's the second or third chapter of the book. And basically, it's such an important issue. You know, in the real world, most of us just fall down the rabbit hole, kind of like Alice did. And we find ourselves in this wonderful place that we've described as Wonderland. It certainly happened to me. I was a journalism major, and I ended up in the financial services business. Figure that one out, right? But that's because oftentimes certain circumstances, whatever they are, push us in a direction that maybe is different than what we thought we were going to be. And the fact of the matter is that very often we do that, and we fall down the rabbit hole just like Alice did. And if you think about Alice, she was in Wonderland, and she's roaming around Wonderland, just kind of taking it all in and so forth. And she meets the Cheshire Cat, and the Cheshire Cat says to her, "Hey, Alice, where are you on your way to?" And she says, "Oh, I'm on my way to somewhere." "Somewhere? Where's somewhere?" "I don't know, but I'm on my way there." And that amazing statement, if you think about it, "I'm on my way to somewhere," but we have no idea where somewhere even is. And so the Cheshire Cat looks at her very, very slyly and says, "Well, Alice, if you're on your way to somewhere, any road will take you there." And the truth is that's very often where most people are. This is why so many businesses fail, Eric. I mean, the truth is that, what is it, 20% of all businesses fail in the first year? The truth is, most of us have no idea where we're going. And that's why our businesses struggle. That's why our businesses are so oftentimes just without vision, without any direction. And so often they can't even be succeeded because we don't even have anything to really pass on. We don't have a saleable business because no one really knows where we're going with this thing. We're just out making money. Is that really what our goal is? And so at the end of the day, we need to have a clear vision of where we want to be and what the direction is, because without a clear vision, the whole entire thing is going to, it's going to explode or it's going to blow up.
That response right there is certainly a wake-up call in many factors. Really appreciate your feedback on that. Now, following up a little further on that, what is actually the point when it comes to succession planning?
Well, you know, the biggest problem that we have is that we can either leave too soon or we can leave too late. Those are your only two choices, kind of like what we had with the idea of picking the right successor or the wrong successor. You only have two choices, and many of us get stuck in what I call the Goldilocks syndrome, where we want to pick just the right time. Remember Goldilocks? She had the porridge, and one was too hot, and one was too cold, and one was just right. Well, the truth is, there's never just the absolute right time to leave. And we never know what the right time is. And so we have to be willing to leave early. We have to leave before, while we're still at the top of our game. And there's not very many people that ever leave at the top of their game. And we need to be ready to do that. If you're ready to leave before you need to leave, you're going to be well served. And in my opinion, you're going to do a lot better off.
Mr. White, certainly has been fantastic to have you cover this, and certainly a wake-up call for anyone tuning in that is a business owner, talking about successors and succession and having that plan in place from start to finish, and really appreciate your insight and information here. Lastly, before we conclude, you outline what you call the 10 commandments of selling a business. Are there one or two of those commandments that stand out the most?
Well, I mean, when we talk about the 10 commandments of succession planning, obviously we don't have time to get into all 10 today, but I would say the most important is that you always do it with clarity, that you have very good books, that there's never any secrets, that you're totally transparent in the way in which you run your business. Someone should be able to look at your business, be able to analyze that business and know point blank whether that business is a good business, successful business, financially or otherwise. They should be able to meet your employees and know every single one of those employees are excited about what we're doing or they're not. And the truth is, those that do succession planning correctly have the the employees that are behind the operation, have the processes that are behind the operation, and have the backup as far as their books and their records and so forth that are clean, that really tell them what's going on. Too many times in business, Eric, we run our businesses, well, almost like the company checkbook is my own personal checkbook. You know, if I want to go to San Diego and have a trip out to San Diego, well, I just go in and I'll just put that on the company. But no, it doesn't work that way. You can't do those kinds of things. The fact of the matter is that if you're going to run your company the way any public company would run their company, make it the kind of company that you're proud of and that everyone wants to buy. And if you get the book, you'll see those ten commandments really deal with doing the things that you should be doing and not doing the things which you shouldn't really be doing to have a business which is clean and operating and saleable.
Again, we can't thank you enough for your time spent with us here today. Again, a lot of incredible insight, and we really appreciate what you do as well. I'm sure listeners want to know how they could get more information on you, your book, as well as a way to be in touch through your website. What is your website address so listeners can get further details?
Well, obviously, the best place to pick up the book is anywhere books are sold. You can do it online at Amazon.com. You're going to get your best price probably at Amazon, so that's always a good thing. Of course, Walmart.com, Barnes & Noble, all those places. You can also go to our website, which is www.DonaldFWhite.com, DonaldFWhite.com. And you can read about the book. You can kind of see what we do. You can also on our website find out about our speaking engagements and how you might be able to hire us to speak to your firm if that's something you'd like us to do. We're glad and excited to be able to help you in that way.
And certainly do appreciate your willingness to help out in these regards. Again, folks, it is DonaldFWhite.com. Mr. White, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
You bet. Have a great day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Donald F. White, the author of the new book, Always In With the Beginning in Mind, How Firms Remain Great After the Founder Exits. And again, the website of reference is DonaldFWhite.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.